Turn your Bible before we go. How long I can be preaching here, preacher? Thank you, sir. I know in the Philippines, I preached 2 hours. I know I'm in America. Amen? So I understand that, okay? Otherwise, the sound man will cut me off. Sound man, if I'm over in the time, just cut me off. I'll be done. Amen? So, please turn your Bible in the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, chapter 14. I appreciate Brother Stanley for calling the preacher before I come. Brother Stanley is such a blessing in my ministry. I never been in this place. I love this place. It's just like home. Amen. It's just like home. So I appreciate Stanley for having me in his house. And then for the preacher for allowing me tonight. And church, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity tonight to give our hearts to you and challenge you from the preaching of the Word of God. In Joshua, in chapter 14 and in verse 12, I use this passage as my inspiration of the new ministry that just implanted in my soul. Since the time we started our ministry in the Philippines, the first year, right there, right away, I told the Lord that we will have the youth camp every year. The reason why I have that burden, because first, I met my wife at the camp. Guess what? After that long week camp, we had a serious decision to get married and be in the ministry. Amen? Oh, Brother Nono, that's how fast you are? Yes, sir. Because during the camp, I was single then the time I applied the verse that says, watch and pray. So I keep watching my eyes around. At the same time, pray. So while I'm watching my eyes, every time there is an invitation, I look on these girls and ladies that came forward. I said, Lord, if I see somebody that coming forward and really crying, really willing to serve the Lord, that must be the mother of my children. Lo and behold, I saw her, and after that service, I told her, can I talk to you and fellowship? You know, fellowship, amen? And we have long talk and fellowship. And I asked her, what was your decision when you came and crying out unto the Lord? She said, God knows. She's a professional by profession, a social worker. And she said, I'm willing to give everything, my life, unto the Lord. And I said, in what way? And she said, if God would lead me to be in Bible college, I'll be in Bible college. If God would lead me, whatever. And my heart just like, love, love, love. Amen. And I said, wow, praise the Lord. And I said, wow. So to make a long story short, the Lord really put us together in the service of the Lord. Amen. So I have that burden for the camp because that is the time to really give direction to our young people. At the same time, it's the time where our young people could just be around with other young people and create a fundamental and a Christian culture and a Christian life. That's my burden. That's what excites me. That's why I don't feel that I'm old, because every time we have a camp, it's just great to be just like these young people. Amen. Amen. And as a result of that camp, all our 95% of our students in our Bible college surrendered their lives in the camp. This almost 95% of the 23 churches we planted graduated from our Bible college who surrendered their lives at the camp. As a result of that, we got 3 missionaries right now. That right now is in Vietnam, the other one is in Cambodia, the one is headed to Thailand. Surrender their lives at the camp. That excites me about the camp. And when every year when we have this camp, I have always that hard time because can you imagine when you bring hundreds of young people in different places and then rent the public school, and then next year another public school, then next year another place, and every time you close the camp, you have a lot of headaches because kids sometimes accidentally break the glasses, you know, and destroy the public school facilities. And I said, Lord, this is over. This is too much. You've got to be kidding. You, Lord, you've got to be kidding. You have to give us the campsite. And the passage that inspired me when I read that verse in verse 12. That is the passage that really inspired my soul to claim that that need in our camp ministry. The verse 12, now therefore, give me this mountain. Now therefore, give me this mountain. And I told the church, it's high time for us to buy a piece of property. And after about 1 week, somebody told me that there is a piece of property down south along the seashore. And then on the other side of that mountain, there is a natural waterfalls. And I was excited to see that camp and that site for sale. When I saw that piece of property, beautiful beach, and then with the natural waterfalls on the other side, and I said, Lord, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Lord, give me this mountain for your honor and for your glory, for the souls of men. I went back to my church and I told my church, I sue the piece of property which is very suited for the camp ministry. And I challenged my people to pray. And the Lord led me, and I challenged my people, if you'll join us to pray and fast for overnight from 6 o'clock in the afternoon all the way to 6 o'clock in the morning, please join us for this need, for this particular need. Let us challenge our faith to trust God, that God is able to supply the need. We prayed. After we got out from that place where we prayed, I have peace in my soul that thing that He put in my eyes and in my heart, God will give it to us. My friend, after about 3 weeks, something or about a month, cannot remember exactly how long, but somebody called me up from Michigan. And he said, Brother, no. What's going on? And I said, why? He said, I don't know why so bothered just to call you. What's going on? And I told him, God given me a burden and so heavy in my soul. We saw a piece of property. It's very nice for the campsite, for our camp ministry. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, right now, our church prayed. We believe God, that God would answer our prayer. And he said, what? What do you mean? I said, I need the money to buy this piece of property. And he said, how much you need? Don't ask that to a missionary. The Bible says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And I told him the amount. And he said, next day, you'll get the money. That's how we started that camp Canaan. Inspired by that verse in verse 12. When Joshua, as we know from that passage, when Joshua now at this point is going to divide the promised land into 12 tribes by lot. After a long journey of waiting from Egypt through wilderness, finally they were able to reach that promised land. And that time, my friend, Caleb on the other side, just standing right there, but he cannot wait his turn. He said, hey, you are so slow. Give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. In verse 6, that's the reason why, by the way, before I go there, I hope we can find Caleb's tonight. You know, asking that mountain, it takes a lot of courage, because you need to fight the giants. You need to drive away the giants, and you need to develop that mountain. I hope we can find Caleb's tonight that would come up to the pastor and say, "Pastor, give me the hardest job to do in our church." Amen? Preacher, can I have the job to do? Give me that job. Give me that job for the honor and the glory of the Lord. And I ask myself, what is in Caleb's heart? Why he came up to Joshua and said, "Give me this mountain." First of all, in verse 6, the very reason why he came up to Joshua and said, "Give me this mountain." Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, look at that word, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." Look at that word, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." You know why he came up to Joshua and said, "Give me this mountain"? Because Caleb remembers God's promise to him. He said, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God." He said, "Did you remember that? When we came back after spying out the land, God spoke to the man of God, Moses, and he said that that mountain is for me. Thou knowest that. You remember that, Joshua. Give me that mountain, because that mountain, God promised that mountain to me." And he says, he reminded Joshua there in verse 7. Look in verse 7. He reminded Joshua in his age and that time. He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him a word again, and it was in my heart. He said, 40 years old was I. That means, my friend, that he still remembered that. 40, he said, I was 40 years old. And this time he is 85 years old. Can you imagine? From 40 years old to 85 years old, still Caleb is so excited to claim his blessing. I praise God for the promises of God. Amen. Let us go home tonight by God's grace. Let us build our faith on the promises of God. The promise of God is trustworthy. Amen? Amen? Praise God for what God has promised to us. The Bible says, my friend, that anything that is not of faith is sin. But you've got to believe what is in the Word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to increase your faith, if you want to be excited, if you want to ask the blessings of God in your life and live by faith and claim the promises of God every day of your life, stir up by faith and claim what He has promised to you. Praise God for our God. Amen. Somebody told me there are 33,000 promises in the Bible that we need to claim before eternity. We are missing a lot of blessings because we do not claim what God has promised to us. Amen? Praise God for what He has promised to us. By the way, praise God, the Bible says the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He is the same yesterday, the same Word of God. And number two, in verse 8, look in verse 8. The second reason is in verse 8. In verse 8, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. Verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. I like that word. Look in verse 8. The Bible says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. This is my advice to the Christians in our churches. You know, when you decide to quit, don't influence people. Amen? I don't like that word, that what happened here. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. The 10 spies that went with Joshua and Caleb came back with a bad report. They said, it's impossible to go there and enjoy the promised land. I mean, the giants are big. We are just grasshoppers. It's mismatch. It's impossible. That's what's going to happen if your heart is not right with God. The only thing you can see is obstacles, problems, and this discouragements. But Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we saw giants. They're big. Guess what? Our God is bigger than giants. These 10 are self-conscious, problem-conscious, but Joshua and Caleb were God-conscious and power-conscious. That's what we need. Amen? And that's what it said right here. I like that one though. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. Oh, I hope you get that point. Look in verse 9. Look in verse 9. He said in last phrase also, because thou hast followed the Lord my God. I love that word. I love that word. I wholly follow the Lord my God, because thou hast followed the Lord my God. You know what is that? Number two, Caleb not only remembers God's promise to him. Number two, Caleb remembers his own personal commitment to God. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses said, this mountain is your inheritance, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God of Israel. Can I tell you something? I hope it would not offend you. Listen, you have no right to claim the blessings of God if you are not committed to God. The word commitment, American Christians have no clue on that. That is what we are missing today in our churches. Godly commitment in our members. Only few are truly, truly committed to God. Oh, brother, no, I'm in the church. Brother, no, I'm coming forward. You don't know that. Somebody said, decision is made in the mind, but commitment is made in the heart. Every time I come to America, it breaks my heart. You know why? I am coming from the third world country. By the way, Philippines is what we are right now. We owe a lot to America. During World War II, American soldiers sacrificed, gave their lives for our liberty. You save us from the hands of the Spaniard people and from the Japanese people. And after World War II, General Douglas MacArthur came back to America and made a strong campaign. And he said, send missionaries to the Philippines. Send Bibles to the Philippines. That's the only reason why in the Far East, we are the only country in the Philippines that our official language is English, because it's an American English soldiers that help us, sitting us, our educational system. And then many missionaries came and evangelized our country. And since then, we got Christianity in the Philippines because of America. Before I come to America for the first time, I have a lot of respect to Christianity in America. Because every time we have American speakers in our church, they're powerful. It's just awesome to see these preachers with the hands of God, with the power of God. And you know what? Nowadays, every time I come back to America, it breaks my heart. Because right now, America is in bad shape. First time ever in your country, first time ever that there are more unmarried couples than married couples in your country, first time ever. How you would respond when you hear that 5 million babies being slaughtered in your country. When I came here for the first time, I have a hard time trying to reconcile this thing. Because when you do fishing, you need to get a license. When you do hunting, you need to get a license for you to do that. But why you legalize the mothers to slaughter their babies and finance abortion? It makes me sick. Because there is supposed to be a Christian nation. Amen? You protect the lives of the animals in the forest, but you slaughter the babies. Every day, between 6 to 7 independent Baptist churches close down their doors. Why? Members in our churches are just playing church. No commitment. Amen? No commitment. That's what's going on. And hey, listen, this is a fact. As you travel all over your country, you'll find out that in every major city, Muslim mosque is being built up. And Muslim religion is the fastest religion in America. Can I tell you something? Muslim come in America with a heathen agenda to knock you down. Yet Christians have no idea what's going on, my friend. Why? We play in church. We're not serious about our Christianity. And right now, this is what I found out. You know what? This has scared me to death. Christianity, I'm talking biblical, independent Christianity now. Christianity in America right now is becoming a religion and a culture. Hey, I'm born and raised as a Catholic boy. I know what is religion. Every day I'm at a church. Every day I do confession. I mean, when I was a little boy, everything to me was religion. But tell you what, when I got saved, when you have Christ, when you got the Holy Ghost, when the Word of God speaks to your soul, it's more than just a religion, my friend. It's a real one when you got the Holy Ghost. It's a real one when you pray. It's a real one, my friend, when you witness. Why? This is true Christianity right here. And that's what's going on in your churches today. Churchgoers, coming to church is now becoming a culture and just a religion. You are more excited about sports and pleasures than the things of God. Missionaries like me would stop by in your church and begging you to invest your money for the saving of the lost souls. You would see we don't have money. We don't have fund to support you, brother. No. Excuse me. How much money you spend on sports? How much money you buy things you don't need? Amen? How much money you spend on your pleasures just to satisfy yourself, act like the world, and yet you claim that you are Christian? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Your Christianity now, it is just like a culture and religion. Too far from the book. Because a man who is truly committed to God is willing to sacrifice. Can you imagine Caleb, born in Egypt as a slave? All the way in the wilderness, he suffered with the ridicule and the fights of this rebellious group against the man of God, Moses. And can you imagine the sufferings and the tough times and the trials that he had along in the wilderness? But yet he never moved. And he was never doubt that God is faithful to help him through. Why? He was so committed. That's what it says. He said, give me that mountain because I know that I wholly, wholly give myself to the Lord. Even Moses, the man of God, said, that mountain is for him because he truly gave his heart to you. Look in verse 13 in that same chapter. He said in verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Amen. Why? He was committed to God. Why? Number two, he claimed what God has promised to him. And then in verse 11. He said, as yet I am strong this day as I was in the day of Moses that sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Yet, look at that word, that phrase. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. What is that? He remembers God's faithfulness to him. He remembers God's faithfulness to him. He said, the Lord give me strength. I was strong as I was when the day when Moses sent me. My friend, let us go home tonight reminding ourselves that God is faithful. Amen? Amen. Oh, without the grace of God, without the faithfulness of God, can you imagine what's going to be our family? What's going to be our life? But because of the faithfulness of God, we can go on and serve the Lord. Amen? But I'm asking you tonight, go home, claim the promises of God. Go home tonight. Ask yourself, Lord, reveal to me where I am at right now of my commitment to you. And Lord, help me to remind myself your faithfulness. That's the reason why Caleb said, give me this mountain. We can go home tonight as a church and claim the blessings of God. God, Lebanon Baptist Church, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, Lord, please increase our faith. Give me Boone City. Amen? Lord, give me North Carolina. If you'll just stay faithful, claim the promises of God, remind yourselves of the faithfulness of God, God will bless you. God will give the desires of your heart. Amen. He is always there. Let us pray in closing. Father, thank you. Thank you tonight that in this beautiful night and wonderful hour, your people are receiving the word of God. Oh God, tonight I just pray that this message would stick to our hearts and that by God's grace will submit unto you. Lord, help us to repent, especially, Lord, in the area of our commitment to you. Lord, we are so shallow of our commitment to you. Help us to get deeper, more committed to you. Oh, Lord, I pray for this church tonight. Please, please speak to everyone. I ask you right now, may your Holy Ghost will bring conviction and will bring